From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with a local and statewide news update. The state reports 15 new cases of COVID-19 in Juneau for today, 14 residents and one non-resident. Bartlett Regional Hospital is treating 3 people with COVID-19. The Juneau School District reports 1 new case of COVID-19 at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kalhe, who was infectious while in school. No classes are quarantined as a result. Statewide, the health department says 655 new people have COVID-19, 10 of whom are non-residents. There have been 3 recent deaths. 1 was a non-resident. The total number of reported resident deaths statewide is 713. Anyone who is 5 years old or older is eligible to get a COVID vaccine. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. Behavioral health patients continue to seek care at record rates while there's upheaval in top-level management at Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital. In September, the hospital's CEO and chief behavioral health officer resigned abruptly. An interim CEO is in place while the board searches for a permanent one. The behavioral health department is trying to hire 4 doctors. That includes 3 psychiatrists. And it must replace its medical director, psychiatrist Dr. Joanne Gartenberg, whose resignation takes effect at the end of this week. The hospital recently named an interim chief behavioral health officer, Karen Forrest. She will be in place for the next 6 months, until the hospital board hires a permanent CEO, who can in turn hire a permanent replacement.
I really want to just continue to strengthen the behavioral health service continuum that Bartlett provides. It's a robust range of services that are in very solid. And so my goal is to continue to strengthen those to ensure that we can continue to provide behavioral health services to our community. We know that they're very needed.
Forrest is a former deputy commissioner of the state's health department and more recently held an executive role with Juneau Alliance for Mental Health, Inc., or JAMI. The hospital was in talks to continue supporting the southeast community of Haines with behavioral health care after last year's deadly landslides. But hospital administrators have not answered questions about the future of that project. Endangered Cook Inlet belugas don't have a lot in common with cryptocurrency, the online money that's becoming increasingly popular around the world. But a 14-year-old in Puerto Rico is using her digital art and the online currency to raise tens of thousands of real-life dollars for beluga conservation in Alaska. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has the story.
Abigail goes by Peach Sunday online, and she asked us not to use her last name to protect her privacy. The high school freshman has set records selling her digital illustrations, which she calls belugies. Each colorful piece features a beluga whale with different accessories, from gold chains to sunglasses to astronaut suits.
And we were thinking, if this works, then we can help them, because there's only, I think, 279 Cook Inlet belugas right now.
It worked. Last weekend, Abigail flew across the country to hand Girdwood-based Beluga Whale Alliance its largest donation to date of $50,000. Abigail's pieces are NFTs, which stands for non-fungible token. Non-fungible here means unique, because each NFT is a digital file that's entirely original, and it can only have one owner. It's a newish concept, and it's complicated by the fact that there's no physical artwork being exchanged. When you buy an NFT, you're buying ownership over a digital file. That way, even if everyone on the internet can see it, you're the only true documented owner, and that ownership in itself is worth something online. It's actually worth quite a bit. Her brother Adam says his sister's NFTs are selling for big bucks.
In 10 hours, we sold out, and we made $1,021,000.
If you're wondering why someone would spend thousands on something they can't even hold, you're not alone. NFT advocates say people are excited about the prospect of ownership and collecting. Earlier this year, an NFT sold at Christie's auction house for $69 million. Abigail thinks people are drawn to the charity aspect of her NFTs and creating a tangible impact out of something that's otherwise intangible. The young artist only started making digital art less than a year ago. Adam was the one who told her about NFTs, and she decided to try her hand. She wanted to draw an animal that would make a cute character. So she picked belugas.
Because belugas are super cute, smart, and we've loved them ever since the Georgia Aquarium that we went to in 2018.
She also wanted to send a cut of her potential proceeds to beluga-focused organizations. That's how she connected with Beluga Whale Alliance online and Suzanne Steiner, its founder and president. Steiner started Beluga Whale Alliance in 2017.
This is our biggest donation to date, and it's really going to help us, you know, get to that next level. We've been operating at a pretty grassroots level, but really help us help contribute to the sustainability of like our baseline operations funding and also scale up our operations to have more of an impact.
The nonprofit works on conservation efforts for Cook Inlet's endangered belugas. Abigail and Adam did some of their own beluga observing last weekend when they flew across the country and hand-delivered their donation. NFTs are still a new technology, and they've come under fire for being bad for the environment. That's because the online currency that's used to buy and sell NFTs, called cryptocurrency, has an enormous carbon footprint due to the computers used to back it. Abigail and Adam say they're trading with a cryptocurrency that's more environmentally friendly than its counterparts, called Solana. Steinert says she's excited about the worldwide community Abigail's rallied around beluga whale conservation. She says Abigail's story is a great example of how individuals can contribute to conservation efforts using what they know.
People ask us all the time, what can I do? Like, what can we do to help beluga? And it's like, to me, like, my answer is, use your skill.
Abigail's only been at the NFT game for 12 days. And if those days are any indication of her future, there's a lot of momentum for her and the belugas ahead. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
To restore parts of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Democrats in the U.S. Senate needed 10 Republicans to vote with them to advance the bill. On Wednesday, they got just one, Senator Lisa Murkowski. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Murkowski said in a speech on the Senate floor just before the procedural vote that free and fair elections are the cornerstone of democracy and the American identity.
I want us to continue to reduce those barriers to Americans' ability to vote, whether it is geographic, whether it's logistical, we certainly know about that in Alaska, whether it's partisan, or some other form.
The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act would reinstate parts of the civil rights era law that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned in 2013. The centerpiece of the bill would restore the so-called pre-clearance requirement. Until the Supreme Court struck it down, it required states with a history of discrimination to get the Justice Department to sign off before they could change their voting rules. Murkowski says, as vice chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, she feels especially obligated to address longstanding voting barriers that Native people face. She notes that the last renewal of the Voting Rights Act passed the Senate unanimously.
Wouldn't that be a goal for us all? Wouldn't that send the signal to people across this country, from Alaska to Maine, to have faith? To have faith in our electoral process, in our elections.
Murkowski says the bill isn't to her liking yet. She wanted the Senate to open debate on it while negotiations continue. Senate Democrats say the bill is needed more than ever because Republican-led states are trying to make it harder to vote. Some states are trying to prune voter rolls and limit mail-in balloting, arguing that it will reduce the potential for voter fraud. That's despite a lack of evidence showing widespread fraud in state or national elections. Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn argued against the John Lewis Act. He says it would give the Democratic Party control over state laws.
In other words, the states would have to ask the federal government, can we pass laws in our state? And it would be up to the Biden Justice Department and Merrick Garland to say yes or no.
The vote to open debate on the bill failed 50 to 49. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer voted no, a procedural tactic that allows him to bring the bill back up more easily. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.